It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
This is why blank lost, and this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Welcome to the second Why Blank Lost for Big Brother 24. I'm David Bloomberg, and with me for this summer of BB festivals is my co-host Ovi Kabir from Big Brother 21.
Hey, David, happy to be here as always and to welcome our Why Blank Lost family here to go into this week two of Big Brother 24. Like last week, it's not as crazy, but it is also a peculiar week as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah, this week we have that strange situation because it's the first time I've ever done a Why Blank Lost podcast before the person was shown losing on TV. This, of course, is because CBS postponed the Thursday night eviction until Sunday night, or the episode, rather. The eviction has already taken place. You know, we always say we only deal in non-spoiler information. But I guess, technically, this whole podcast is a spoiler this week if you don't watch the live feeds or follow along on social media, and you're literally only watching the show. And so if you're watching or listening to this podcast right now before Sunday night, and you're one of those people who only watches the show and you don't want to know, pause us now. There's a reason we haven't said the name of the person. So we're about to go into it. All right, here we go. we were
good
tempted. Yeah, that's right. We were actually tempted to record before the episode aired. even if there had been no live feeds, which was initially what we thought was going to be the case, because it's been so clear who was going to be evicted. But once we found out that the live feeds would and did indeed return Thursday night, we knew we had to proceed. I highly doubt there will be any new information provided in the eviction episode that we don't already know.
Exactly. I mean, we saw proceeding all the way up to Thursday what showed this house guest the reason why they went home. We're going to go through the rules, talk about what why this person went home. And I think we have enough information without even the episode to say why.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, and the funny thing is also, even though this is a strange one, this is really our first true Why Blank Lost of the season because of what happened with Paloma last week. And it's not exactly a huge mystery. Don't need Scooby and the gang to figure this one out. But even so, we still have plenty of things to discuss, and we will follow our usual path of using what we saw on TV, live feeds, and other non-spoiler information. Someday we'll get interviews to use too, but not yet. And this
dream.
We'll use this information about how Pooch played in comparison to the set of guiding rules I originally wrote back in 2004 and have modified a number of times since, with the most recent version posted at robhasawebsite.com/bigbrotherrules. Now, before we get to our discussion of the rules, as always, we have some things to discuss about the week in general. First, it was good to see some attention turned away from attacking Taylor, though there was still some of it and too much of it. Jasmine was annoyed multiple times early in the week that Taylor had the nerve to try to help her when Jasmine was hurt. And people may have also heard on other RHAP podcasts about how at one point Jasmine asked Taylor to cook her shrimp and rice and went on and on about how much she loves it. And then later she claimed to others, oh, that Taylor, she's kissing up. She just wanted to make shrimp and rice and she forced me into it. So I was like, okay, I guess if you want to.
Held by gunpoint to eat shrimp and rice.
Yes.
when these some of these house guests will try to find any reason to dislike Taylor, and it's very apparent. Unfortunately for Taylor, it doesn't seem like it's the same reflection of last week in the same way as the barragement, and she might not be the clear target, we found out. Mm-hmm. But she did still have to go through things we wish she didn't have to in that house.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, there was even worse than that early in the week. Daniel, Terrence, and Nicole talked about Taylor not caring about Paloma and even being a reason that caused what happened. You know, Nicole specifically blamed her and said, Taylor doesn't understand the gravity of what she did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she added, well, Paloma apologized to Taylor, but Taylor was the problem. And Taylor stole the moment with dramatic crying and so on. It was, frankly, just repugnant. It was idiotic. There were more examples. And like I said, things thankfully got better as the week went on. But come on already, people.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same story, just in a different way. And it's frustrating to have to keep watching it. I'm just glad that at least Taylor wasn't getting duped this week, that she felt in some ways safe and had part of a plan. And to credit to Taylor, she has done a great job in trying to ingratiate her way in different ways, part of the alliance, to make herself feel, make others feel like they actually might need her in their game. So I think she's put herself in the best position she possibly could right now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this week. You know, like we say, no spoilers about what else happened after the eviction, but it'll be interesting to see if they go back to, we got to get Taylor out, or if there's a new target that emerges. I will say neither of our winner picks is exactly in a great place.
No, they are not.
But moving on beyond Taylor to Jasmine, she had an interesting HOH reign. First, she spent it almost entirely in her bed. I know she had an ankle injury, but it was like the queen making her subjects come to her, you know.
Give me flashbacks of Christmas.
Yeah.
And at least at Christmas's situation, she truly, I think, tore a ligament or was on a brace in a little scooter. I was expecting Jasmine to walk out with the same type of scooter at one
point. She had the scooter at one point. You know, Yeah, she had this because they even used the wheel sound effects. They had to give her the scooter because she didn't know how to use crutches. She was trying to use crutches. First of all, it looked like they were set too high for her. Second of all, she had absolutely no idea how to use them. I do think she was back on crutches at certain points. So who knows, you know, what they'll have for her next. As far as her decisions, you know, she came in seeming to have strong opinions. Then she switched to no opinion. Then she switched to a strong opinion that was opposite of her original strong opinion. I'm sure in her mind, she's a brilliant strategist, but she is, to say the least, malleable. I do think for that reason, she may last a while because people will find her as a useful vote, because they can pretty much get her to do whatever they want. And of course, obviously she's not a competition threat with her injury. So I think that, you know, they'll just keep her along. They'll tell her what to do. She'll think that she came up with the idea herself. And then, you know, she'll just merrily go along for a number of weeks. I would say deep into jury.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that she has been able to play a flexible game. And that might be the reason why that she doesn't have a concrete plan starting the HOH. She has something on her mind, is changing it, then coming back to it. So I think what we're seeing is that she's been very influenced by her alliance in certain ways, which isn't necessarily bad in the beginning of this game, because you want to have autonomy in the game, but you don't want to show others that you have true autonomy in the game, because then that's when your threat level rises. So, to her part, I think she did a good enough job in the sense of listening to others, but also in the back of her head, I think she let maybe personal biases and just reasons she didn't want other people to be on the block. So I think we're going to, we saw it play out in a positive way, or at least in a certain way. I think you could say that if you're happy with who went home, but it could easily gone the other way too.
Yeah. Yeah. If she had been pressured the other way, she would have gone the other way.
Exactly.
So, or even, well, we don't want to jump too far ahead, but if certain things hadn't happened, we'll just say.
Yep.
So last week we had a lot to say before we got to the rules. This week, because of the focus of it and the way things went, I don't really have anything more. Do you have anything more that you want to say, talk about before we get to the rules?
I think the only thing I'll say is a little predecessor to anybody watching this who might be new to why Blink lost, essentially, is that we love talking about the game theory about going into this. So if you're just joining on, if you want to see exactly how it's broken down, why we think these players went home, why the week went this way, I think this is the show for you to watch. So I'm excited about this. Is and now going into the rules, which is a great segue, what David's about to talk about is what really truly makes, I think, this show what it is.
Yes, thank you. Now, before we get to those rules, I do want to mention that there is a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form for the Survivor version, which is similar but not identical to the Big Brother version. You can go to robheslwebsite.com/YXLostFeed, scroll down to the poster, and click on it. In addition to the poster itself, we also have other ways to get these rules, so you can always have them with you. You can get the poster t-shirt. You can get the checklist t-shirt, which I am wearing. You can get it on a mug form, which I am drinking out of. You got to be fully loaded, fully stocked up. So again, just go to robheslwebsite.com/YXLostFeed and click away.
Yeah, they look great. I can't wait to be sporting mine. So we're doing what? Because you see, David already has a merch nice on.
That's right.
I need to get one of those for me.
That's right. Yeah, we'll have to hook you up there.
Yes, sounds good.
All right. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. In theory, this week we should really be talking about just about anybody but Pooch. He put himself into this position. But that isn't the full picture, because if he had been doing other things right, even making a mistake that big would not have necessarily meant the end of his game. So let's look at everything in total as we figure out why Pooch lost. The first and most important rule is, of course, to scheme and plot. Pooch seemed to believe himself to be a master strategist. He thought he had a rock solid alliance or two, and was certain that volunteering himself as a pawn would be perfectly safe because he had the votes to stay. He was wrong on multiple levels. First, he never had the votes on his side. But beyond that, anybody with a deeper understanding of the game would know that a week is a long time and things can change. And that is especially true when it's only the second week of the game and nothing has really solidified. I want to use a comparison from his own career. It would be like a football coach seeing that the defense is lined up in a certain position and telling his quarterback, throw to that specific spot on the field because the defense isn't there at the start of the play, totally ignoring the fact that the defensive players can and will actually move around.
I think that's a great analogy right here, especially with Pooch's background being, I believe, assistant football coach. I think he just had headlights in his face and was very tunnel visioned in the sense that he had a plan and you get so comfortable. And here's the thing with the Big Brother house. One day outside the real world in the Big Brother feels like a week. So a whole week feels almost like a month long in there. So even though you might feel good on one of those days within your life, if you're not checking in with people, if you're going to sleep a little too early and then you go to sleep at 1 a.m. and at 2 a.m., there's a few more conversations, the game completely shifts. And I think Pooch wasn't privy to other people having conversations behind his back. And he was in good with certain members and he relied too closely that they would have his back and not realize they might have blinders on too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, another problem, and I think it relates to what you said, but I think there's more intentionality behind it, is he didn't even talk to everyone. He said at one point, I don't talk game with Michael. Yeah, that's a problem. Then a couple days before eviction, he tried to strike up an alliance with Michael. Michael's like, no, I'm not falling for this. He even said afterwards, you come to me this late looking for an alliance when you've been building them the whole time. No, Michael's not going to fall for that. You know, again, Pooch thinks he's this master strategist.
Exactly. I mean, I think when you look at great players, the way they play the game is they sprinkle seeds on every single person they can. So that way they've already created a basis, and then you water those seeds. Hopefully it grows into a tree, a plant. You can't expect to make an alliance right away when you haven't talked to somebody for just a long time, and especially Michael, who's been in a position, in a weaker position, who's had his back against the wall, who's had to win to make sure he doesn't end up going home. That type of player now would have definitely welcomed just any conversation of not even an alliance, but some sort of connection during his weakest points. But now the situations are flipped and you expect it from him. It's not good connection making.
Right, right. All right, well, I think we can move on to rule two, which tells players not to scheme and plot too much and to keep their scheming secret. And we just might be on to something here in terms of Pooch getting evicted. In fact, I even posted a bit of a spoiler on my TikTok because Alyssa had said earlier in the week, I think on Sunday, she had said, rule number one is to not volunteer as a pawn. But in fact, that's right here in rule number two, because doing that is definitely scheming and plotting way too much. And there was no reason whatsoever for Pooch to do this. He was completely safe. His name would probably have never come up at all.
Exactly. And keeping that in mind, it sounds like when Alyssa comes out of the house, we need to make sure we send her the rule book so she knows rules there. So Alyssa, if you're watching this back, we'll send that to you. I think this is unfortunate thing, because I was quoted on it. People were saying that I was high on Pooch after the first episode because I thought he did have a good ability to connect with people when he was in one-on-one conversations. And he really, like you said, didn't have an incredible threat level. And later, I don't want to get too into it, but people didn't even feel like he had a great threat level on here. But he had his ability to inject himself strategically in places he didn't have to be. This whole plan to be, I'll go on the block over scheming, when literally it's week two, you have no reason. And also, with it being week two, those bonds aren't completely formed yet. Mm-hmm. You know, this game's a 90, well, I guess a little lesser now, like 82, 84-day game.
Yeah,
and you don't want to hope and hinge your plans for the whole entire game on connections that are going from day 7 to 14, etc. So it just seemed like such a lack of understanding of how to strategize and put yourself in fire. If you're going to put yourself in the firing range, you need to wait till later down the line when you have the armor for it.
Right, right. You know, I mean, he was already talking about, oh, I need to build up that resume to use at the final two. I mean, first of all, if you play this way, you're never getting anywhere near the final two. So that's the first and most important thing. But even if by some miracle he had, no one's going to remember what he did 80 days ago.
No.
And making a dumb move is not what you want on your resume. You know, that's not something you list. Furthermore, he said he was doing this for everyone in the house. No, you should not be playing for everyone in the house. You should be playing for you. You know, I mean, I will say the way he did it did make it easier on everyone in the house because they could just vote him out.
Exactly. Before we move to the next part, I just want to say the worst reason you don't want to put yourself on the block for no reason and just go home. And then, even if you survive it that week, you are an easy person to put in week in and week out because you've already touched the block. No blood on anyone else's shoulder because, like, well, you've been on there. I'm going to put you back on there. You have lost a level of autonomy to not go on there. You can't say at the end of the game that I've never touched a block. No one cares to say I volunteered on it. When you say I've never touched a block, that's a great thing to talk about.
Right, right. And, you know, the funny thing to me about what happened when he did volunteer was how quickly almost everyone came together independently in realizing this was a perfect opportunity to evict him. Like, they just all jumped on board. I mean, it's like, it was like light bulbs going off of everybody's, you know, head. And
exactly.
Yeah. And the thing is, he didn't restrict himself to this one major breaking of the second rule. He found other ways too. In the first rule, we talked about how he and Michael didn't strategize. Well, earlier this week, Michael said, Pooch talks game at you, not with you. And he went super hard, super fast. Again, symptoms of scheming and plotting too much.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same thing when you laugh with someone versus laugh at
right.
them. And it's a basic social IQ 101. It's how to make sure somebody feels like a valuable member of whatever conversation, strategy, Big Brother alliance you may have, that you have to make sure that they feel like their word is as important as yours. If anything, you want to make their word feel more important than your own.
Yes. Yes. You know, I mean, it was so bad that by the end of the week, even Monty, who had been staunchly like, we have to get Taylor out, we have to get Taylor out, to the point that he was killing his own game. He was joining in against Pooch. You know, he talked to Daniel and Terrence, and they all agreed that Pooch had passed along things that they told him in confidence and that Pooch was untrustworthy. And then Joseph, joined against him in the last day or so also. So he basically lost everyone.
Exactly. People who were his arguably one of their closest allies and also had a begrudging grudge against Taylor. It was a perfect combination that even if he did put himself in that position, he probably couldn't have wished to have a better person next to him on the block at that moment because of the irrational dislike the House has had for Taylor. And so Pooch somehow was able to reverse that onto himself.
All right. Well, we could move on to the third rule, which talks about the need to be flexible. Yeah, Pooch was not. In that same confessional from Michael that I just mentioned in the second rule, he also noted that Pooch's mind was made up and he was not someone you can reason with. And all we have to look at is the reason he volunteered, because he was so certain that they had to vote out Taylor. You mentioned it earlier. He had tunnel vision. Now, some of this stemmed from the way he assigned traits to her that didn't exist, like saying she couldn't get to jury because she wouldn't vote rationally. It was something we talked about last week. People were saying these things about her, even though they totally had no evidence behind them. And he just got these things locked in his mind. And he even asked at one point this week, when did everybody stop hating Taylor?
Yes, it started to ring bells into him. And I think this was the biggest thing about me seeing his lack of flexibility. And I will say that I think some viewers might be watching and say, well, Pooch put himself on the block. You know, I feel like that was flexible. He was trying to make a way that could make sure other people's games weren't in tension. So he's okay with that. And to that point, I will say that Pooch put himself in the firing lane, and you could kind of argue that's flexibility, but when he was in there, he never realized till the bell hit it, that he was in trouble. He never thought there could be a point that, wait, hold on, actually. And that's the idea of flexibility, realizing that the self-awareness with being flexible. So it's not just being okay with whatever decision goes there. But when Taylor was so close to winning the veto, to Michael winning the veto, there was a lack of changing up his play and putting it on Taylor, who was right next to him.
Right. All right. Well, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. How do you think Pooch did here?
This is a tough one because I feel like he wanted to play kind of a cool game in a sense that he was, stay calm, don't worry about it. If I'm not worried about going home, no one else is worried about going home. This, if the more you pack, the more you have a chance to go there. And I feel like he might have played – and correct me, I'm trying to remember any clips otherwise, other than closer to the day of the eviction. But I feel like he was very cool in the sense that too cool. He was too calm because he unfortunately did not have that self-awareness to realize like, hey, maybe you should have a few more emotions. When some of his own teammates, house guests, were saying, well, the girls could put something over us and try to take, out. And like, that's never going to happen. Don't worry, So I don't think the emotions got the better of him, but I do think he should have utilized emotions to help him a little bit.
I will say I think there's one part where the emotions did get the better of him. And it goes back to Taylor, because he was so locked in on her that it seemed to come from an emotional place rather than a strategic intellectual place. I mean, he provided, some BS strategic reasons like we just discussed, but again, he brought up everybody hating her, which is an emotional reaction. I think that was the core. And then he just made excuses from there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it counts, it goes into that tunnel vision, like you said. But it's also important to note that the girls at this point just lost Paloma, and to no factor of their own. And if you think of it, like, you cannot think of Big Brother when you're in the house, regardless of a gender breakdown. You know, and sometimes in your head, you think the guys might work with the guys, the girls might work with the girls in some instances. And so regardless if that works out or doesn't work out, it's in the back of your head. So this idea now that the girls lost the number, and now we're going to put Taylor here, even though they don't like her, we're going to lose another girl. That imbalance causes thoughts to go. So as Pooch himself, he should have thought, wow, maybe the percentage now of Taylor going home just after Paloma might be a little bit lower.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we could go to the fifth rule, which tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And I'll again ask you, how do you think Pooch did in this one?
I think he pretended to be nice with Taylor, the one person he didn't probably have to be, because she had no autonomy over his game. This is the crazy thing, because he was like, well, I'm going to make Taylor feel like she has a chance that I don't want to. First, and Taylor was over here, is like, she was playing a nice game with him. I mean, Taylor.
Yeah, she was like, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, it's so terrible.
And I just, he didn't play nice to the people he needed to. He couldn't, like you said, he talked to Michael way down the line, and these other important conversations, checking in one-on-one with the girls, not just coming in with a group of guys. He needed to better spend time cuddling with the rest of the guys and cuddle and talk to other people. I mean, that whole segment we saw on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so, it's unfortunate. I don't think that, I don't think it was there for him. What's your take on that, David?
Yeah. I mean, I think he, quite frankly, had a tendency to piss people off. Yeah. You know, and we haven't necessarily seen it as much on the show. But like a few days ago, Indy was talking to Amira, and Pooch just came over and, in Indy's words, started talking BS. And she got so mad, she just got up and walked away. And Jasmine and Alyssa said they had similar experiences and, said he was disrespectful. And yeah. I mean, I was going to make a joke similar to what you did about his bromance with Joseph, of like, OK, at least he had that going for him. But he managed to make Joseph angry in his last hours there, too. So,
yeah,
literally the guy he was like spooning with, you know, he pissed off, too.
Yeah, I think I feel like, and I don't want to extrapolate, but I feel like with Pooch, his personality is kind of like love him or hate him. That's kind of the way he projects himself. Like, you love me or hate me. And if you don't love me, then you're not going to, there's no middle ground for him. So I think, unfortunately, he just wasn't able to kind of temper maybe some of his personalities. Because here's the thing is, when you go in a Big Brother house, you don't want to go full on with your personality, whether it might be like, you know, very touchy-feely or just expressive in certain things. Because each person is hand-selected to be a polar opposite of potentially you. No, usually the house is put together for people who are going to dislike things you do. Like, David loves to wear yellow. They're going to put me in there because I hate yellow. You know, yeah. They're going to find things. So I think it's important you want to ration how, like, you're going to give somebody 50% of your time, 60% of yourself. You know, and so it builds up. Like you said, I think Pooch had a tendency to rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And once Jasmine was convinced to get rid of Pooch, she said this may be an opportunity to get out one of the biggest threats of the house. Several others talked about that, too. Now, you already mentioned this earlier, and I'm totally on board with you. I never saw him as a huge threat. Part of this is for many of the reasons we just discussed. He was annoying people. He wasn't a strategic mastermind. He thought he was. Did it look like he might be able to win some physical comps? Yeah. And he was certainly targeting the women. So in that way, yes, he was a threat to the women in particular, because if he won HOH, he probably would have put two women on the block. I'm sure that was on their minds and what they were thinking, but I didn't see him as a big threat in the game, like winning the game overall.
No, I mean, I think it was talked about in the Wednesday episode where you had a group of people there talking about whether they want to put Joseph up instead, have Michael use the veto because he seemed like such a huge threat. Pooch, like, there are certain players we can say they went home because it was their time to come home because every person was threatened and thought they would win the game. This was not the case for Pooch, and this is why we on here are saying he fumbled the bag so badly.
Yeah.
He had a very little threat level, and that was what made him attractive to me in the sense of a game player, that, like, he could probably play low, not make mistakes, and then before you know it, wow, he has actually built up a resume versus, I think, he wanted that threat level in week two. And unfortunately, surprisingly, his threat level, he made his threat level go high because people just couldn't trust him or didn't want him there.
Right.
And Taylor, to her credit, was able to kind of really minimize her threat level and have people convinced that, oh, well, we'll get Taylor out week four, week five, and that's the goal.
Yeah, we can use her. We can use her first, and then we'll, yeah.
Exactly.
That's how you just keep progressing, you know.
It's Sandra the Queen, you know, we'll do a Survivor throw there, you know, if it's not me. So, I mean, it's that's the type of gameplay just Taylor's trying to utilize right now. Anybody but me, not me.
Right, right. So we could go to the seventh rule, which says to trust almost nobody. Let's let that sink in for a moment. Trust almost nobody. Yeah, Pooch obviously blew this one because he trusted everybody who told him he was safe, which was basically the whole house. As we discussed, going back to the first rule, he acted like everything was rock solid. But it seldom is in this game, and it certainly wasn't for him. He had known these people for little more than a week, and yet he trusted them completely with his game life to be like, here I am, just, you know, take me, protect me. And yeah, they were like, no.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hey, I've been a victim of trusting the wrong people in the Big Brother house, so I get how easy it can be. The issue in Pooch's situation is, yes, he trusted way too many people. And when you trust literally almost everybody in the house, somebody's going to backstab you quite quickly. But also what I'll say I think was detrimental to this game, he trusted too openly. People knew how close he was to Turner, and by that product hurt Turner's game, and people who distrusted Turner for any actions he did in the house, by product hurt Pooch's game because he made it so clear how tight he was in with Turner, how clear he really appreciated the guys wanting the boys club as they said, you know, quoted, he's a boy's boy, as Jasmine says that. And so
there are four categories. There's the girls, the boys, the girls, boys, and the boys, girls.
The holy four quadrants. You can find yourself in this weird Venn diagram. And this is how we're taking people out. If they're a boy's boy or they're a girl's girl, you know. I just think, he just trusted too openly. But I do think, you know, if there was one rule, if Pooch didn't break, if it was rule seven, I think he would have been fine. Because then this wouldn't have led to this whole culmination of trusting Jasmine to put her on the block, having the Lions not go after him, trusting Turner and the other guys to be able to tell him, hey, it's not Taylor anymore, so you really need to do action. Like, he had this inherent trust for people to look out for his game when he wasn't doing it himself.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing, you know, like you said, if he had just followed this one, I mean, everything that he did was so interconnected in, quite frankly, failures in so many of the rules, you know? I mean, that's the thing. Like I said at the beginning, before we started into the rules, if he had put himself up, volunteered himself, but had not had all the other things going against him that we discussed, he might have been okay. It still would have been a dumb move.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been as dumb a move as also thinking that you have control of the house, that everybody loves you, that you trust everybody, that, you know, I mean, we could just go down everything. He just managed to tick them off one by one of didn't do that one, didn't do that one, didn't do that one. You know, I could just go down my shirt here, you know. So, yeah, it's... you know, and that brings us to the time to wrap things up. I mean, this podcast is a little bit shorter, maybe a lot shorter than some that we will be doing in the future, because everything that he did was so concentrated in wrapped up in the same issues. And so, you know, with that, it brings us to our final thoughts. So what are your final thoughts about Pooch?
I mean, exactly what you said. Usually we'll be able to kind of hopefully break down week by week, even day by day, why this person went home. But Pooch was able to wrap up basically why he went home in the last 4 days, because his week one, he played perfectly fine. He just made these mistakes and went down. I think he was looking at your rules, David. He's like, which ones can I break? And he went down the thing. And what's frustrating.
Take a look at the mug and we could just go through. And
it's frustrating because I don't think Pooch is necessarily inherently a bad player. I feel like he had a really good he is a bad player because he did break his rules. But if he just didn't break rule 7, if he didn't trust people, he could have been fine. Like, if he didn't put him in this, like, so many things had to go wrong that he did himself to put him in the eviction seat, which we'll see on Sunday night. So that's what's frustrating. He had to work hard to get himself out of this game. And so I think that's the most frustrating thing, because you could see the resemblance of, like, a player in there. And, here's the thing is, with Pooch going home, I'm so happy because Taylor is my winner pick and she's still there. With Pooch going home, I think it cements, hopefully, that there might be a change up in the game. The dynamic might be throw around. We'll see what the Big Brother have in works for us, because this is a non-spoiler podcast or video episode. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, I hope the players learn from Pooch to see, don't trust too hard, don't over-scheme. But I have a sad feeling that some players might follow in his footsteps.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that anyone will follow in the footsteps of volunteering again anytime soon. But
Michael won't. But the others,
I did like what you said before I get to my conclusions. You know, I did like what you said, which was basically, well, he wouldn't have been as bad a player if he hadn't done everything wrong. You know?
I was trying to give a little silver lining from the guy, but there would have been a great football team if they didn't go 0-12.
Yeah, exactly. If they had scored a point. Pooch thought he was a master strategist. He was brilliant. He said on Wednesday's episode he was a big fan of Dr. Will. Frankly, I'm surprised Dr. Will didn't immediately jump on social media to disavow him, because the only thing these two people have in common is that they're men who appeared in Big Brother. The problem was that Pooch didn't even know enough to understand what he didn't know. He thought everything was locked in after a week. He thought everybody wanted Taylor out and it would stay that way, and he could do the house a big favor and reap the rewards later. But that's not the way it works in so many ways, as we've discussed. He was locked into that one way of thinking and could not see outside the tunnel he had created. Pooch said that if people turn the vote on him, that'd be the dumbest move in Big Brother history. Sorry, no. However, self-nominating for no reason would be among the top dumbest moves in Big Brother history. Especially when you haven't actually set yourself up in any sort of position to ensure your safety, and people like the idea of you leaving. Yet that's exactly what he did. The football coach fumbled the ball. And that is why Pooch lost.
Put it best. Put it best. So, that's why he went home.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, before we continue a little bit here, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster and t-shirt and checklist. Beautiful. And as I showed, checklist mug form. Again, just go to robhessawebsite.com/yxlost. Feed. Both of us also are active on social media, a lot of different social media outlets. If you want to discuss the rules, sometimes we post about the rules and obviously about the show and the players. Ovi is at, as you can see on the screen if you're watching, the Ovi Kabir on Twitter. I am at David Bloomberg on Twitter. And of course, if you want to talk to us, hey, we'd love it if you use the hashtag on Twitter, YXLost. Also, everyone should follow us on TikTok. I am at David_Bloomberg. Ovi is at Basmati Boy. And I know, Ovi, you could say that with you know, you could pronounce that much better than
you pronounced it great. You did wonderful.
Now, lately, I've been posting an average of about 2 TikToks per day, especially now that Survivor South Africa is here. I'm doing mini Y blank losts on those for every person voted out, which is kind of a lot because they're airing 4 episodes a week. Wow. Yeah, but those minis, I'm keeping them to 1 or 2 minutes. You're not going to get quite the in-depth here that we have here. But on the other hand, you can watch them on a TikTok and just like that. Also, I copy over my TikToks to Instagram on a delay where I am yet a third different name, David.E.Bloomberg. Ovi is also a third different name. He is at Ovi Kabir there. So we've got all these different, names for you to remember.
Exactly. And here's one thing we want to do this time, too. So if you found this video link through David's TikTok, my TikTok, or Twitter, or Instagram, whatever it may be, comment on the YouTube comments and let us know where you're watching this from. Use the hashtag YXLs, because we'd love to see where you guys are watching us most from or coming to. So that way we can kind of try interacting, doing more things on those platforms. So, and let us know your thoughts about why you think Pooch lost, if we got something wrong, or if you think he did something in the rules that we didn't even realize. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Another way to communicate with me is on the patron Facebook page for RHAP. If you join the patron program, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. In addition to Facebook, you get access to all sorts of Big Brother. There's 2 extra Big Brother patron only podcasts. There's the Slop and there's the Q&A with Rob and Taryn. There's also other non Big Brother specific podcasts like the Patron 5 for 5. There's the Patron Cast. There's also the Discord. There's a whole bunch of stuff, a huge community where you can talk about Big Brother, Survivor, Survivor South Africa right now. Anything else you want to, life in general. So again, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. Or click on the link at our robhaswebsite.com/YXLost feed page. Also, speaking of RHAP, make sure you're subscribed to all of the podcasts by going, again, to our YXLost feed page. You'll find great content like daily live feed updates from Taryn, the Big Brother Stock Watch, the recap episodes, everything you want Big Brother related and more. Huh. With that, did you have any other final thoughts here?
I think you covered everything we need to on there. As always, this is my favorite. This is why I jumped in here to join David on here. I'm thankful to be a co-host because I love talking about the game 3, why this person went home, and the RHAP community. And we'd love to continue doing this. So again, let us know your thoughts. And hopefully going into week 3, the game gets shaken up and we get to talk about why this person went home. And maybe they don't break as many rules as we did.
Yeah, maybe it's not either of our winner picks if we're lucky.
Yes, fingers crossed.
All right, well, thanks to Scott St. Pierre for the editing done on this podcast and to Will from America for the theme song. A big thanks to you, Ovi, for being so flexible with the scheduling of this podcast as CBS jumped around, made changes. We were like, okay, we could do it this day. No, we can't. No, we could do it this day. Ah, wait. Ah, and I know this has been a busy weekend for you. So thank you. And we will see everybody back here again in 1 week. Bye.
This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.